Football season obviously underway, and if you play fantasy football, the odds are you probably already hate your team and wish you could draft all over again. Well, on FanDuel, you can draft a new team every week. As an example, this weekend, I found some great buys with Geronimo Allison and Tyler Boyd at wide receiver. Then I could afford the big guys like Alvin Kamara and Todd Gurley. My lineup placed in a couple of tournaments, so not a bad Sunday for Van Smack. If you're not a fantasy expert, that's okay too. FanDuel is clearly the place to play. FanDuel has something for everybody, and there are more ways to win than ever before. New users get a $20 bonus when they make their first deposit on FanDuel. So come play with me at FanDuel.com/CBS Sports. FanDuel.com/CBS Sports.
You know I'm live, right? You know I'm live in Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios, where you can apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, so if you're just joining us, nice to have you here. Good morning, good afternoon. What's up? Coming up next segment, the head football coach at Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley. Right after that, Kalani Sitake of BYU. So this segment is open for you. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. Please follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveItTake.com. Covered a lot of things so far. I want to keep moving. New topic. I mentioned that John in Huntington Beach invited me to spend the 4th of July with him in HB in 2019. And I said, I think I've already got plans. I think I'm going to be in Wisconsin for the 4th of July, if all goes well. Got a friend who's already trying to get me out there. So, keeping in line with that, let's talk some Wisconsin sports. Let's talk baseball. With so many crazy storylines going on right now in baseball, sometimes it is hard to track everything. The senior circuit is having an all-time September. The NL West, as an example, is a freaking war. We've already covered that. Dodger fans are freaking out. Somebody just called up and said they wanted to fire Dave Roberts. Dodger fan is tripping. The Central is a coin flip right now. So, if you're killing baseball for being boring until the calendar turns to October, you're simply not paying attention. I said this earlier this week, and I'll make the point again right now. Because every single night, teams are living and dying. Last night, one team made it official. They're going to be living the high life into October. The freaking Brew Crew.
One ball, two strikes. The stretch. Ready again. Here it is. He struck him out, swinging. And the Brewers are going to postseason. All right. Big celebration for the crew out at the mound area.
All right, Wisco. How you feeling about the crew? Man, I know Wisconsin loves the Brewers. Anytime I reference the Brewers on this show, I get a lot of great reaction. How you feeling about the crew? All right. Have you sent some flowers, for instance? Right. I love that call. Have you sent some flowers to Derek Jeter for gifting you Christian Yelich? Because that trade was booking awesome for the Brewers. And it looks like the worst deal ever for Captain Clearance Rack. Christian Yelich is a monster. His cat is a monster. And looking more and more like your National League MVP. Christian Yelich. I mean, I know this is sacrilegious. Dare I say, this dude might be the next Robin Yount. The Cardinals were so afraid of this guy, they gave him the Barry Bonds treatment last night. After he knocked in 6 runs to beat them the night before, they walked him 5 times last night. Jeets sent that dude, a center fielder in his prime, sent them an alleged MVP candidate and sent him to them on a ridiculously team-friendly contract. And what did he get in exchange? You know, a bag of baseballs and a couple of fungos. Look, I'm not a scout. I'm not going to pretend to be a scout. I don't write for Baseball America. I'm not going to tell you that the dudes on the Marlins farm are not going to pan out in 2021, but I will tell you that the prospects that Jeets got in return for a guy who is going to stack silver sluggers, gold gloves, all-star invites, and maybe a couple of MVPs, the guys that Jeets got in return are, in a word, struggling.
Struggling.
Lewis Brinson might crack the Mendoza line. That is the very definition of struggling.
Struggling.
Monty Harrison hitting 240 in Double A. Eason Diaz hit 232 this year. Again, I'm not going to crystal ball what these guys might do down the line. I'm just telling you what they're doing right now. A whole lot of nothing. A whole lot of struggling. Yelich, on the other hand, he's got the great state of Wisco on his back and looking to rip that division title from the Cubbies. So, while the Brewers popped bottles and celebrated their last playoff berth since 2011 last night, they're not done. And maybe that's why all sorts of hell and mayhem is breaking loose in the bleachers at Wrigley. Because I think those folks there, even they understand that the Brewers might put them into a one-and-done wild-card situation.
There's no fighting in the bleachers! There's no fighting in the bleachers! There's no fighting in the bleachers!
Bunch of drunk dudes giving each other the hands in the bleachers, and you got some old guy trying to break it up saying, there is no fighting in the bleachers. There's no fighting in the bleachers. There's no fighting in the... Oh, we forgot. We forgot that rule. Okay, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. And notice that was not in L.A. That was not in the L.A. Coliseum. That was a fight in the bleachers. Guys giving each other the hands. That was not in L.A. It happens everywhere. Four nights left. The only thing I know for sure about the National League is that Derek Jeter may have traded away the last two MVPs. Shake it off, cheats. Hit it with some Purell. Because that'll happen. Happens to you all the time.
Happens to us all.
Happens to him all the time. Brew Crew, Wisco, you're back in the postseason. And maybe for a minute or more. Come on, Brewers fans. Here I am in Southern California, national platform, nationally syndicated radio program, talking about your Brewers. Pick up the phone, hit me up right now. What do you think? How does it feel? Does it feel better or just different than the last time? And do you have a run in you? If I'm going to talk about you, you damn well better talk about you back to me. Come on now. Let's go to Los Angeles. Quick telephone call. Well, I can't promise quick. I can promise he'll be there. I can promise it'll be a phone call, but I can't promise it's quick. I can promise that he'll acknowledge the guys back in New York on CBS Sports Network for putting up pictures that aren't actually there. Let's go to Matt in L.A. Matt, what's up? Good morning.
Rome Slice. Hey, excellent show as usual. I can't agree with old Tone Capone who called in earlier, man. Doc Roberts is legit, man. He's got the best managerial record for any Dodger manager through three seasons. So he's going to pull us through, man. We're going to go up to San Fran. Yeah, Frisco, I'm talking to you. We're going to go over there, make ourselves at home like most L.A. folks do, and we're just going to take care of business. We're sweeping the Giants. And then we're going to see what the future holds. Because, yeah, like you said, Buddy Blackman, hell of a manager. I respect the Rockies. But, hey, I'm riding with my Dodgers. I know we're going to take care of business, Romy. Now, I wanted to jump over and hit the Raiders up. Raider Nation, we got to get rowdy this weekend. The Browns are coming in. We got to make Baker Mayfield know what goes on in Oakland. And that means we got to pull this damn thing with a win, Rome. That's all I got today. We're the battery chuckers in NoCal bowing down to us this year. Outro.
Outro. All right, you got it. Nice job, Matt. He actually made it better. I know a lot of you don't think so, but I think he actually made it better. All right, going back to that notion that the Dodgers should fire Dave Roberts. It's like the worst take I think I've ever heard in my life. There have been a lot of bad takes on this show. That one's right up there. They're not going to fire Dave Roberts, nor should they. Dave Roberts is one of the best managers I've ever seen. That's not hyperbole. Dave Roberts is one of the best managers I have ever seen. In the way, look, all these guys can strategize. They all have good tactics, or they wouldn't be there in the first place. He is the ultimate when it comes to reaching players, communicating with players, having relationships, yet at the same time demanding their respect, getting them to perform, motivating them, running a clubhouse. This guy's as good as it gets. They're not firing Dave Roberts. It's not his fault. they're picking a bad time not to play their best baseball. I thought they were playing their best baseball when it mattered most, but they're not. They've lost a couple of games in a row, and as I mentioned, they've gone from up 2.5 to down a half game, and they've done it in about a week. But why is that? Why is that? Because the Rockies are playing out of their minds. Because the Rockies have heart. The Rockies have grit. They're relentless. They just keep coming. And because Buddy Block's a hell of a manager, too. Both great managers. I tend to want to give this. In fact, I don't tend to. I am. I'm giving the credit to the Rockies as opposed to taking a run at the Dodgers. But they're not playing their best baseball right now, and the Rockies are. Tip your hat to the Rocks. This is not on Dave Roberts. Believe me, there's not a guy I'd rather have there than Dave Roberts. At Lenny Pets Too Hard tweets, Rome, I'm a Cub fan that lives in Wisco. Right now, I am worried. The Brewers are hot, and the way the last couple of World Series been going, small-town markets are winning. That's legit. That's fair. They are hot. Like, I want to say, I'm looking at Chicago. I see talent. I see depth. I see experience. I don't really care. I'm not going with necessarily just talent and experience. Go with the hot team. The best team, the most experienced team, the deepest team does not always win. The hottest team often wins. Hey, Jim, while you will be in Huntington Beach with John, we will be in Irvine. Yours? Beige houses, noise ordinances, tapered jeans, and office parks. Drew in West LA. You forgot safety, amazing public schools, no litter, no crime, amazing parks, safety. Drew in West LA. What the hell does Irvine have to do with anything at all, Drew? Why are you taking a run at Irvine, who's standing off to the side, minding their own business, not bothering anybody at all, Drew? Spoken as only somebody who lives in West LA can. I mean, I grew up on the West Side. I no longer live on the West Side. Nothing against the West. Nothing against the West Side except for Drew. Dude, your arrogance, man. It's beneath you, isn't it, Drew? Drew, see, you called me out on one thing, all right? One diarrhea blast. You're going to live off that for the rest of your life? Great. You caught me in one thing. Quickly, diarrhea. Brian. Yeah, I know, Alvin. I've already owned that several times, Brian. Thank you. Or Alvin. Brian in Wisco, quickly. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Good, good. How about you?
Not bad, not bad. Just living a dream here. Brewers are back in the playoffs. Been a long time, been 7 years. Got a hell of a team. David Stearns went out, got Grandison. Got Gio Gonzalez. Scope's been kind of a slug, but pickups have been solid. We got a hell of a team, young team. Look out, Cubbies are coming to get you. You can have Cole Hamels. You can have you, Darvish, coming to kick your ass.
Rack him. Nice job, Brian. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. I was going to say, what do you mean, how you doing, guys? There's only me. Or are you shouting out to the XR4TI, or are you shouting out to the whole jungle? Doesn't matter. You rallied, Brian. Nice job. He said, it doesn't matter about Cole Hamels. It doesn't matter about you, Darvish. We're coming to kick your ass. Brewers, rack him. He's going to be the huge call. Unless somebody gets in between now and then. It's my dude right there, Brian in Wisco. I asked for a call from a Brewer fan. I got it. When we return, Lincoln Riley, OU head coach. Kalani Sitake coming up later on in the hour. Now, I got to tell you, I've been sleeping on my Casper mattress now for quite some time. And I would pick it over every single mattress I have ever owned. It really does help me get the best night of sleep I've ever had. Once you try Casper, I'm telling you, you will love yours as much as I love mine. Because I sleep cool and comfortably every single night. And that's not easy because I live in Southern California and it's still really hot here. I'm able to do so because the mattress has a unique combination of foams which provide the right pressure relief and alignment. Casper ships right to your front door for free in a small, how'd they do that, size box. They'll even pick it up if you don't love it, and they'll refund you everything from its engineering to its packaging.
to letting you try it for 100 nights. It is no wonder Casper has over 35,000 five-star reviews of all their products across Casper, Google, and Amazon. Sleeping on a mattress is the best way to try it. Put yours to the test in your own home for 100 nights, risk-free. Go to Casper.com, use the code name Rome, get $50 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code name Rome, save the money. Casper.com, terms and conditions do apply.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you. As I mentioned, an enormous college football day in the jungle. Interview-wise, we had Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly, who actually had some fire for Stanford back in hour number one. We're talking to BYU head coach Kalani Sitake next segment. But right now, we are joined, as promised, by the head football coach at Oklahoma. He's in his second season as Sooners head coach. He led them to their 11th Big 12 title and a number two seed in the college football playoff last season. They're 4-0. They're number six in the AP poll. They're number five in the coaches poll. They're hosting Baylor on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Lincoln Riley is my guest. Lincoln, great to have you back. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good, Lincoln. Great to talk to you. You beat Army 28-21 in overtime on Saturday. Let me start right there. Now, look, you knew that was going to be a tough game, but it turned out to be closer than a lot of people expected. What did your guys show you in the way they dealt with the adversity and they found a way to grind that thing out?
Yeah, and I'm really proud of our team. You know, Army's a tough out. You know, kids play hard. They play really well. The triple option is such a hard thing to defend. And, the game, I was really proud because the game honestly went exactly like Army would have scripted it. You know, we only had 40 offensive plays. They had 87. They controlled the time on the clock, made it a low possession game where anything could happen. And I think a lot of things didn't go our way, but our guys found a way to fight, found a way to play their best ball at the end of regulation and in overtime to seal up the win. And to be a championship team, you got to win some of those tough ones. So I was really proud of our resiliency.
Lincoln Riley joins us. Kyler Murray threw for three TDs. He ran for another. So I would imagine you're pretty happy with the way he's playing right now. How would you assess his first four games as a starter?
He's definitely played well. You know, I think he's shown that he's been ready for the moment. He's done a great job of just being himself, you know, not listening to all the noise on the outside, just continuing to improve, and really done a great job commanding our group. He's been patient. He's really got all of our playmakers involved. And the fun thing for him is he's playing well, but he can still continue to improve and play so much better. So excited for him, his progress, and what this next part of the season holds for him.
So, Lincoln, what about that? I mean, what would the next level look like for Murray, and where are you looking to see him improve next?
Yeah, I think he can just be, you know, continue to be more efficient in situations, continue. There's been, you know, each game there's been one or two decisions that we'd love to have back that, you know, that are going to be important going forward. And he's going to continue to face new challenges just like we did last week against Army. So, he's handled it well, no question. The stats, I know, have been really good. But, you know, within kind of our walls and what we see, he can continue to grow and play better.
Sooners head coach Lincoln Riley, my guest. Your kicker, Austin Siebert, had a tough moment when he missed a potential game-winning field goal at the end of regulation. Again, we're talking about a guy who's a Ray guy and a Lou Groza candidate. But after the game, he tweeted that he felt like he let his teammates and his coaches and the fans down. What was your message to him in the aftermath?
Well, I appreciate him saying that. He didn't need to. He's bailed us out way more than he's ever let us down. I mean, to start as a punter, a kicker, and a kickoff guy for 4 years at a place like Oklahoma is so rare, and he's done it at a high level his entire career. So we'll have more big, important kicks this year, and he'll be ready to put those right through the middle like he's done the majority of his career. So it happens, and the team was ready to rally around him, and there'll be a lot of other points where we're going to need him, and he'll be ready to go.
And then you have Kenneth Murray, who had some kind of day for himself, 28 tackles. He broke the school record. What'd you make of his performance?
Yeah, he was awesome. You know, him and our other inside backer, Curtis Bolton, who had 23 tackles, they were outstanding. I mean, they fought all night. It was a very physical game. I thought the defensive line did a nice job of keeping those guys free, and that was our game plan, you know, to funnel the ball to those guys and let them make plays, and they, you know, those guys have continued to improve, and I think they're, you know, one of the better inside linebacker tandems in the country right now.
You know, one more thing about Murray. I mean, you know this guy's going to fly. You know he's going to make plays. Well, he's a sophomore, though, and already a team captain. So what's that say about him as a person and a leader?
very rare at a place like Oklahoma.
Right.
I mean, that just doesn't happen often. So it shows, I think, our team's confidence in him, you know, not only where he's at right now, but, you know, the way they can see him improve. And I think part of it's from, you know, what he did last year, you know, playing Mike linebacker, a new position for him as a true freshman, you know. And so he's got a lot of room to grow, a lot of room to improve, but he's a very talented leader that's, you know, kind of starting to come into his own right now.
We're talking Oklahoma football. Lincoln Riley, my guest. So Baker Mayfield was back for your game last weekend. You know him as well as anybody, Lincoln, of course. But what was going through your mind when you watched him against the Jets and saw what he was doing? You might not have been surprised necessarily, but what were you thinking as you saw that thing play out?
I was excited for his opportunity, you know, and I was just proud of the way he carried himself. You know, he went in, I think it was a 2-minute drill right before half, went in, you know, just went in firing away, you know, was not hesitant. He looked comfortable. He looked in control. Made very few mistakes, and the ones that he did make, he was able to brush them off and get on to the next play. So, yeah, proud of him. You know, he's you know, everybody's going to want to, you know, say, you know, he's the second coming now, and he's just going to have to continue to stay steady. There'll be a lot of great moments. There'll still be some tough moments, and he, as long as he continues to keep his head down and grow like he did during his time here at Oklahoma, he's going to do a fantastic job.
God, he came out of that thing just business as usual. But the fact of the matter is, I think you have to really look at this. And before the draft, you told this to Robert Klemko of Sports Illustrated, quote, he wins the job as a walk-on freshman at Texas Tech. He beats out a bunch of other good players at Oklahoma, and then he wins the job despite having no experience in the offense here. And then he even jumps on the field against the Jets. He wasn't getting reps with the first string. I mean, Lincoln, how do you explain that? I understand this guy's sharp and he might even have photographic recall, but how do you explain him absorbing all that info and just stepping in and doing things like that?
Yeah, he's got a tremendous belief in himself, which I think is just such a key quality. It's hard to measure, but, you know, to play that position in that league, no doubt you gotta have the physical talent. You gotta mentally be able to handle it. But at the same time, you gotta have a strong belief in yourself and to get those things done. And regardless of what situation comes up, that you're gonna be ready for it. So I would honestly point to that more than anything. And he's had a history, like you just said, he's had a history of doing things just like that, going into situations where maybe, you know, he wasn't the guy in the beginning or the odds were stacked against him, and the guy just finds a way. So he's been like that his entire career, and I just at the time didn't feel like that there would be any difference when he went to the NFL.
Got a couple of more moments with Lincoln Riley. Now, one of the phrases around the program is OU DNA. How would you describe OU DNA?
Yeah, we just think it's, you know, something extra special that you have to have. That first off, the all the players and coaches that have come before us here, and you know, kind of built the legacy. You know, the kind of the hallmark of this program has been consistent winning at a high level for years and years. And so, it's one of the most iconic programs ever. And so, I think it takes a little extra, something extra special to do this here. I think, well, guys, once they kind of get in the program and they see all the tests of them, they understand that. But I think the results also speak for themselves.
Hey, let me ask you this: can you identify in a player when you're recruiting whether or not they have OU DNA, for instance? What's it look like on the high school level?
We definitely try. You know, we definitely try to. It's never an exact science by any stretch. But, yeah, you're trying to find guys, I think, more than anything, that are winners. You know, guys that don't mind doing extra things, guys that at the end of the day are going to put the team first and then understand if they do that, then the individual goals that they have and that we want them to have will happen as well.
Right, so earlier this month, you celebrated your birthday, and you did it with a cake that had a Jordan 11 on top. Dude, this is an awesome
cake. That was a good cake, wasn't it?
Oh, man, that was amazing. That was an amazing-looking cake. Did it taste as good as it looked?
You know what? It tasted really good, too, but it was almost felt a little guilty cutting it up because, yeah, that was pretty special, and the Jordan brand has been a great thing for us. Our players, our recruits have really loved it, and it's kind of just another thing that helps set OU apart. So we've had a lot of fun with that here in the early stages.
Hey, Lincoln, did you run the blade through that thing as just kind of a, you know, the thing you're supposed to do, or are you a cake guy?
Yeah, I'm actually not a huge cake guy, but that one was so good I had to try it out. So yeah, it was on point.
It's an amazing cake. I've never seen a cake quite like that. Oklahoma's 4-0, number 6 in the AP poll, number 5 in the coaches poll. Next up, Baylor at home on Saturday. Lincoln, really nice to have you back. I appreciate you, and thanks for doing the show once again.
Anytime, Jim. Anytime for you. Appreciate
it. Talking to you, Lincoln. I appreciate you saying that, and really nice to have you back. Great to have a good relationship with you and having you back on the program. Oklahoma unbeaten, number 6 in the AP poll, number 5 in the coaches poll. Baylor next up, and a nice conversation there. All right, when we come back, I mentioned, I've said it several times, I want to reiterate, big college football day here in the jungle. You've already heard from Lincoln Riley. Brian Kelly with some fire for Stanford. I've got that up on my Twitter feed in case you missed it. Kalani Sitake, BYU head coach, doing a great job there. And he joins us next. Sports fans, football season obviously here. Time to get in on the action with MyBookie.net. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side. You can predict scores, track players' props. MyBookie.net lets you play without cash or other purchases. Use the promo code ROME100 when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat that. MyBookie.net has in-game live action on every major league event, even esports. There is no better time to join MyBookie.net than right now. Go to MyBookie.net, open up an account, join in on the fun. It's a blast. Use the promo code ROME100 when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. Signing up is easy. You'll have access to your own personal dashboard. MyBookie.net promo code ROME100. Got to use that promo code ROME100. Again, no deposit is necessary. Terms and conditions do apply. For entertainment purposes only. Quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Barbasol Razors. After 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is now finally making razors. That's a no-brainer, of course. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save now at Barbasol.com. Let me reiterate, huge day in the jungle, especially in the way of college football interviews. We had Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly, Oklahoma head football coach Lincoln Riley, and right now, the head coach at BYU. He's in his third season as Cougars head coach. BYU is 3-1. They're number 20 in the AP poll. Huge showdown Saturday. Number 20 BYU and number 11 Washington. I consider him a very good friend of the program. We are joined by BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. Kalani, it's so good to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
It's good to be in the jungle. Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you in the jungle, Coach. You beat number 6 Wisconsin in their place earlier this month, and then you followed that up with a win against McNeese State this past Saturday. The game against McNeese State got off to kind of a slow start, but then you found your rhythm in the second quarter. My question is, how pleased were you with your guys once they got rolling and they seized control of that game before it became a real issue or even too late?
Well, I thought McNeese came ready to play, and they started out fast, you know, and we took a while to get going, but I think you have to give McNeese credit for what they did in the game. Our guys didn't respond the right way to adversity, but after a while we got used to it, and I was pleased with the outcome. I mean, if you would have told me before the game that we would win 30-3, I would take it no matter how it came, and there's no such thing as an ugly win, but we learned a lot about our team that week, and we overcame some adversity. That's like we do every week, and so we're looking forward to the next challenge, and really excited to go up to Seattle and share the field with the University of Washington.
It's a huge challenge, which I'll get to in a minute. Kalani Sitake, my guest. You know, late in the fourth quarter against McNeese State, there was a fumble in their territory. You broke off a 20-yard run to get inside their 10. You could have easily tried to punch it in and make the scoreboard look even better, but you didn't do that. How come?
I didn't think that there was a need for us to get there and punch it in. I know that it would be a cool experience for some of our players, but I'm really big on showing sportsmanship in class and in football, you know, and it's not worth it for us to sacrifice points just to get a touchdown. And I learned that from Lavelle Edwards. As a player under him, we did the same thing. And so it's not anything unique to me. I just think that that's just the best way to handle the game. And we play the game with sportsmanship in class and definitely respect our opponents. And I respect McNeese, and I just didn't think we needed to throw that into the mix.
You know, can I say it's not unique to you, but it was unique to Lance Guidry, who's the McNeese State head coach, and he really appreciated it. He tweeted, Kalani Sitake is a class act. Most coaches in today's coaching world would have scored that last touchdown. Coach is a man of character and class, and BYU is lucky to have him. Good luck next week, and God bless. You know, again, you learned this from Lavelle Edwards, and it might not seem unusual to you, but what did that mean to hear that from a fellow coach and a peer?
Oh, it means the world, you know, and life as a coach, especially a head coach, is not easy. And so I just appreciate those type of words coming from Lance. And there's a lot of great coaches out there that would have done the same thing. And so I think that, you know, I'm probably getting too much recognition for something that most guys would have done anyways.
I thought it was cool. Kalani Sitake joining us. I thought it was great. Now, one of the things that's been really interesting to watch this year has been the development of the offense and all the misdirection and pre-snap movement the new coordinator Jeff Grimes has brought with him. You know, personally, your coaching roots has been more on the defensive side. So what was it about the offense that initially caught your attention?
Well, as our offense was set, with our new coaches, you know, Jeff Grimes wanted to work with his whole coaching staff, and they tried to look at our talent on our team and something that they could really develop and have a foundation set and be able to spread the ball out a little bit more. So I think he's utilizing all our talent on our team, and I've been pleased with how it's working. I mean, everything could be better in so many different ways in all three phases, but for the most part, our guys are playing good, disciplined football, and they're not making a lot of mistakes, but I think we're ready to have a good offensive explosion soon, and hopefully that'll be this Saturday.
Now, how about what you're seeing so far? Like, it can always be better, but when you're running these jet sweeps or fly sweeps, you've got the motion, you've got the shifts. It's a lot to ask of your quarterback. So what do you make of the way Tanner Mangum has handled all of this, and how impressed are you with him?
Yeah, and I think he, you know, with Tanner, he doesn't get a lot of the credit for all the decisions that he has to make. We do a lot of things that we put on his shoulders, and we feel comfortable with the decisions that he makes. Whether to switch a play or call an audible or stick with it or to add a shift or motion to it. He does a lot of that and makes decisions, game-time decisions, within the 40-second clock, and been really pleased with how he manages the game. And he's been, you know, for the most part, taking care of the football. We lost the one game that he threw two picks in, and so the three games that we haven't thrown interceptions, I think he realizes that it's important to take care of the football, and we're going to get some really good defenses. So I think it's a we're developing as an offense, and I feel good about the foundation that's set in our offense right now.
BYU head coach Kalani Sitake, my guest. Listen, I know you've got a major challenge ahead of you, but it's hard for me not to acknowledge or to ask you about what happened in Madison a couple of weeks back. Camp Randall is notoriously tough. That is a tough, tough environment. But you went in there, and you handed the Badgers their first non-conference home loss in 15 years. Just how big a win was that for the program?
It was a lot of fun, and really wanted to see how much improvement we could make from a year. The year before, we got manhandled by them. And being able to go up there, it was really good for us to see where we match up in the standard of physical football, which is what Wisconsin is. They're the top of it all. So wanted to see how much improvement we made, how much bigger and stronger we got. And we felt really comfortable going into the game with our preparation. And our players felt confident. So it was confirmed that we could hang with the big boys. And now we have to keep that rolling and not just be it a one-hit wonder. You know, we got to keep building on this and make it a strength for us and our program. But that was a great learning experience for our guys, and we had a lot of fun, and we were fortunate to come out with the win.
You know, in terms of physical football, I know what that meant to you and how proud you were because you gave game balls to the strength and conditioning staff. You know, Kalani, I was in Wisconsin not long ago, and they walked me through that facility. I'd never been there before, and that is a part of their DNA. That's a really physical, physical program. So to me, for you to stand in the trenches the way you did and trade with them, I think was really impressive. So now the focus is all number 11, Washington, and a trip to their place this weekend. When you look at Chris Peterson's team, what is the number one thing that concerns you?
Well, they're super efficient, well coached, and their guys love football. And so I've been really impressed with their team in all three phases. You always try to look for holes in different places, and there is none, which is a huge compliment to the coaching staff and Chris Peterson as the head coach. I've been really impressed with their culture, and we admire them just like we admire Wisconsin going to their stadium and seeing their team and their program. Same thing goes for Washington. We admire them, and we really want to see how we match up against the best, and that's why we're excited about the schedule. We get to go to Washington and play an 11th ranked team that's that has a coach that's well known, and they're a national powerhouse. So you know, we get to see how we measure up, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really impressed with their team. And, you know, we'll see if we can hang with them.
You know, he spoke really highly of your defense and the ability to keep plays in front of them. He feels like some of that comes from facing your offense in practice on a regular basis. So how much does seeing that offense help improve your defense?
Oh, tremendously. We have a physical O-line that got bigger and stronger. Our D-line got bigger and stronger. Everybody on our team, we felt like we got stronger. So the physical part of the game – I thought we improved on, right? And so it gave us a lot of confidence, but that's just not the entire game, is the physical part. I think for us, we're built on toughness. And so at BYU, it's hard. Everything's hard. It's tough. It's difficult. Academics is difficult here. The honor code is difficult. And the football demands are difficult with the schedule being so front-loaded, heavy and everything. But that other people have seen that as a weakness. For me, I see it as our strength. And that's what we're going to embrace, tough things. We tell recruits when they come here that if you're interested in partying, this is the wrong school, and you got to go to class. If you can't do that, we can't coach you. But that on top of the demands we have in football, it's really difficult. But if you come here and you work 4 to 5 years, it will impact the rest of your life and in such a tremendous way. And I'm living proof of that. So we build it on that, and our guys believe in it, which will allow them to behave the right way, and then we'll get the results we want.
How in the world do you argue with any of that? Kalani Sitake joining us. Speaking of toughness, before I let you go, source tells me that you're a bit of a boxing fan, an MMA fan. I got to ask you about boxing. When did you first become a boxing fan, and who were some of your favorite fighters?
I grew up loving boxing. I my dad and I, my uncles, we all watched boxing. That's like our thing. You know, we had always had a punch bag in our garage. We play fight. We sparred with our cousins, and that's kind of how we grew up. But I like the old school, Marvin Hagler and Sugar Ray and those big time, you know, Iran Barkley, even Stonehands, Duran, you know. So I could name them. I love when Iron Mike showed up as a young teenager knocking people out. I'll watch amateur fighting. I'll watch all of that. I just can't do it as much as I do now. But now with the availability of technology, I can always watch it when I have a few minutes to watch some boxing. And I just love it. I just like that context. But I think it's the toughest guys, and boxers have the best footwork. I admire all the hard work that they put into the fight. And they can hate each other even before a fight, but there's that admiration and respect at the end.
It's that gladiator respect, because if you're willing to step between the ropes and do what those guys do, there's always going to be that fundamental respect, or at least there should be. Kalani, you're so right. I mean, right now you can go to YouTube, but you and I came up the same way. It used to be, long before there was the internet or YouTube, it was a thing, right? It was an event. When there was a big fight and they made that fight, that was a big deal, and literally time would stop for that, right?
Oh, yeah, and you get butterflies for the fighters. You know, that you see the entrance, and it's like everything came down to Friday night fights, and you'd have these marquee big matchups, and man, I just loved it. It was so much fun to see them. And then you get to see how they train. You get to see the background of it all. You get to see the trainers, get some credit for what they do. It's a team sport, and I just think they're the toughest guys out there. And such a lot for me. It's really entertaining to watch guys get hit, and even at the point of exhaustion, still be able to power through and finish to the end.
All right. So finally, if you're an old school boxing guy, are you an MMA guy?
I like both. I mean, I appreciate the groundwork and jujitsu work and everything, the submissions, but I love knockouts, man. And I love guys that get hit and come back, and just the old school slugfest are my favorite. So I like boxing in that part, where you just see a lot of tactical punching and you know, you can't go to the ground, so you got to stand up. So I'm partial to the stand up fighters in MMA, and I love boxing.
I like striking, too. Now, Kalani, you're an extremely respectful, humble person. Where do you come out on Conor McGregor?
Respect his game. Not a big fan of how he goes about doing it, but he's a fighter. He works hard. And, you know, I think he cares about the sport. But I don't know. I like the humble guys, man. But I say that, but then I like what Muhammad Ali was all about. I think he was more playful than anything. But I didn't mind Joe Frazier knocking him out, too.
Kalani Sitake joining us. All right, so BYU going up against Washington, number 20 BYU, number 11 Washington. Great challenge, great matchup. Third season as Cougars head coach, and I want to reiterate, a good friend of the program. Kalani, so good to visit with you. I know it's a major challenge once again this weekend, so good luck with that, and I hope we can get together and talk again soon.
Appreciate it. We're going to have a lot of fun. Got that jungle karma now.
Love it. Great to have you on. What a great attitude, too. That we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's an amazing opportunity for the program, for our players. We are going to have a lot of fun. We covet this. We have a chance to go up against a great program with a great coach on a big stage. Quote, we're going to have a lot of fun. I love the way he laid out to BYU that, hey, listen, you're going to come here and you're going to work hard. If you're looking to party, this is not the place for you. But if you want to come here and you want to put in your time and you want to spend 5 years here, you're going to leave better for it. He goes, look at me. Look at myself. Look at my career, my life. Not for everybody, I'm sure, but a really, really good place for a lot of people with a great head coach. Now we're done. Good day. Good, smooth, tight, efficient program, including you clones. Good contributions. Stabil, America's number one fuel stabilizer and ethanol treatment. It's been trusted and recommended to keep your engines running when you need them the most. Our products may live in your garage, but they help you experience so much more. Ready, willing, Stabil. I want to reiterate, really good day today. Nice show. My thanks to Brian Kelly, Lincoln Riley, Kalani Sitake, XR4TI did a great job. You clones did a great job. Did I say I was happy with today? Let's finish strong. The grind includes Friday. See you right back here tomorrow. We're out.